Thanks, Rob. Hey, everybody. It's a download, truncated version from 10 to 11 o'clock tonight before Patty takes over at 11. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. Hooray, the Hawks are back. Preseason win. I love it. We get so excited about the first preseason win. I think we get more excited about the Blackhawks preseason win than a Bears preseason win. You know what I mean? Or a Bulls or any of that stuff, spring training. This is the one that people pay attention to. And it wasn't even any of the vets tonight. They're coming up on Thursday, which I love. I love it. I love that. I am not a fan of the Coach Thibs style. Everybody plays all the time. Like, I love it, man. We are pros. These are all-stars. Everything about these guys are champions. They don't need to play in the first preseason game. Sorry. Somebody else can play. Right? So a good win, but exciting. Exciting to have hockey back on WGN Radio. It's awesome to listen to. Cool sound. It reminds you, it's a little bit of, I mean, it's exciting and exhilarating. It's also a tinge, and I want not depressing. That's not the right word. But it automatically, because you know that feel in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know that sound when you hear, you know, you will remember me. You know, when you hear that kind of thing. You know it's January.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing. I love it. Everything about it is all – Duff did such a good job with all the preseason, like all the hype and everything. Right. In is awesome sound. But it's that moment where you're just like, I know, how do I know that sound? What does that sound remind me? What am I recalling?
Yeah.
Well, sideways snow. Well, we only got an hour tonight. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Rich Jones is going to join us. He's a hip-hop soul musician here in Chicago. He's getting a lot of buzz, played at North Coast. And, I mean, it really is. He's having a great young career, even though he started a little bit later. But we'll talk with Rich Jones tonight on the download. Usually we play the worst on Tuesday nights, but we only have the hour, so we thought we would just do more of a truncated show. So we'll do the carry-out coming up here. I had a great one for the worst this week. I'm telling you, man, I was at the brink of, like, civilization on Saturday night where I went to see the movie It.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of mentioned this last night, you know, when we started the show, that I don't usually go to the theater unless it's, like, 2 in the afternoon to
right.
see a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, we went out and did, like, a date night thing on Saturday night. We were able to see the movie It. And it was like the recliner, theater. So we're there. Everything's okay. You're like, okay, this is cool. All right. This is packed. Wow.
Get out more often.
Yeah, right. A group of six come along.
Mm-hmm.
They park themselves next to us, which is fine. I don't care. They're three couples or whatever. And the sixth guy has a plastic bag full of steaming hot takeout food.
No.
Like, I mean, straight out, I mean, no. I think it was Chinese food. It was something that was not, it was not your variety. It wasn't your Subway sandwich that they picked up before they popped in. This is hot. Like the styrofoam white plastic, you know, like a container with the tin foil on the inside. And when they opened it, it stunk like microwaved hot dogs. And I guess I don't know. I mean, I understand with the new movement of theaters and recliners and everything in between that, you know, that you can bring a lot of things in or things have changed, but I didn't know you could bring a meal.
No,
you can't bring a meal. Should I have gone up to the front desk and be like, what's up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to do that, but if you could smell it, somebody should have been there to say it's not your job to tell them how to act properly.
Okay, so you got that. And you're right, because it's like, what teenager is going to stop a guy? I mean, there's like three checkpoints for a popular movie, at the beginning, when you buy the tickets, when you give the tickets to the ticket taker, and then when they check your ticket when you're going in. Nobody recognized the huge bag to the floor of six cashew chickens. Like, I mean, it was gross.
Please don't tell me they were sharing with chopsticks, like going over each other.
No, even better. The woman who was sitting next to me. She decided that, you know, it's the recliners, the new living room. It's the living room. She takes off her shoes.
No.
Bare feet.
No.
She's wearing some sort of shorts with a oversized T-shirt. So it's like bare legs, knees, feet, and she's using one foot to scratch the other.
No, this is disgusting. Right. This is the worst, right? Yeah. These are people that should not be allowed to go out in public.
My wife had the line of the night where she's like, I'm done with the recliner. She's like, if I want it, nowhere did I ever think I wanted to lay down in a bed with six strangers.
No.
That's what it feels like when you're reclined back and you look and you see this woman's feet right there and you're just like, I'm short one comforter and we'd all be sharing a bed together.
This is the problem with America. You give somebody an inch, they take a foot. Because, like, oh, you know, we want you to be more comfortable. Right. We want to make it like a home experience. We'll put you in a comfortable chair. But then, you know, now the pants come unbuckled. You know, people scratching themselves, Chinese food.
It was nuts, man. I'd never seen anything like it. And it took me out of the experience.
Yeah, of course.
There was a funny moment where we went to dinner afterwards and our waiter was like, oh, I saw the movie today as well. What'd you guys think? And we were talking about it. And then he's like, you realize it was blah, blah, blah. And the plot was like going this way and that way. I mean, that was obvious. I'm like, I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it because
5 minutes I got a waft of microwave hot dogs and the sound of a woman scratching her own feet.
That's so gross.
Was this also a dine-in theater?
No, this was not a dine-in theater.
Because I just went to one and I went at like 1 in the afternoon and there's just people that keep coming in with food to give to the people seated. I'm just like, you're walking
like
in front of me.
Like a waiter or
you
like
know, because
a
you can order now from your seat.
Like from the restaurant or from
the theater. Cause there's like, it's a whole full restaurant nowadays,
but it's a full restaurant, their food.
Right. But still people are like walking in and they're just like the theater kid who's just like, your hot dogs. And it's like,
who had hot dogs? Anybody?
Like, I'm watching a movie.
No, guys.
I had a really hard time on Saturday. I had a really hard time. I'm never going back to that theater. It's over.
Well, you hate to automatically assume everybody's going to be awful like these six people, because these six people are truly awful human beings that should not be allowed to go to a movie ever again in public. You can't act like that. You can't act like that. I mean,
right. That's right. I felt like Walter from Lebowski. Am I the only one who cares about the rules?
Right. Well, I mean, what has happened? Society is disintegrating.
Yeah. It was really awful. And I was like, this is past the point of me. Like, I didn't want to turn into the Justin who will get kind of like, I'll get ornery and short pretty quick. Someone's sitting in my seat. You know, you go to that kind of defensive mechanism like, hey, get up. And this was beyond that, where I'm like, if I say something, the only natural conclusion is going to be fisticuffs. Uh-huh. Like, it's not even like, I couldn't even give like a death stare. Like, it was at the point where you have completely gone over the line. To the point, the only course of action at this point is physical violence. And I'm not willing to go there. So I just had to suck it up.
Yeah, it should be somebody at the movie theater should come over and say, listen, you know, I know you're comfortable. Just put on a sock.
Yeah. My friends, you know, it was funny because we were talking about this particular theater and our friends were like, we don't go there anymore. It got skanked out. Huh. And I was like, no, I love it. I love it. I have no problems like that. But I'm going at 2 and they're going at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So I wonder if this is just, you know, like the... A theater that's run its course kind of thing, where it's at the point now where it's just overrun by inconsiderate people.
Yeah, I've been to the new Davis, which had, you know, the same, it has kind of, you know, has assigned seating and stuff. And a lot of times people don't understand the assigned seating process because it's new to them. So people are moving around. Yeah. Like, you have an assigned seat. Sit in the seat. And then they're moving, you know, like other people are coming. This is my seat. I'm like, What are we doing?
Hey, we did the worst tonight. We got it out of the way, right? That would have won anyway. No one could have called in and got. So I get Illuminati's pizza tonight. That's what I get. All right, and it's shortened download tonight. News, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman. This is the download. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do the carry out. Stay with us. It is the download here on 720 WGN. Let's carry out. Here are today's top stories. The president spoke in front of the UN today to talk tough on North Korea and others who may threaten the safety and security of the United States of America. Trump started the speech fine enough, but ended with threats of destruction and, of course, funny nicknames. Trump once again reminds us that he's not the president we want to share a beer with, but the president that will forward you a meme on an email chain. Okay. Seriously, what's with the nicknames? Crooked Hillary, Lying Ted, now Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un. Rocket Man? Trump's circus tricks are starting to get worn out. As a matter of fact, Trump's political playbook is very much like the Bears. Everyone knows what the Bears are going to do. They're going to throw the check down, right? They're going to check down. Trump's check down? Lousy nicknames. We right? Yeah. We're all calling for Trubisky. Well, the political bombshell that is Lisa Madigan stepping down is now changing the game for the Illinois governor's race. North Shore State Representative Scott Drury dropped out of the gubernatorial primary to run for attorney general instead. Wow. How about that? Was it me? Was it my interview with him last week when I asked him that tough question? I think we have the clip. You're polling close to zero. You have no money. You have no chance to win this thing. I mean, maybe if it was a lesser office like attorney general, but governor, absolutely no chance. That was a clip from our interview last week. He got the idea from me. Huh, lesser office. What I do know is I want to know what happens to his running mate, Alex Hirsch. He just got robbed of a chance to sit in a meaningless lieutenant governor's office. That's a leather high back chair. That's nice. Or maybe Drury can take him with to the attorney general's office. Lieutenant attorney general? I like the sound of that. Drury joins a crowded field of Democrats who want Lisa Madigan's old seat. Capital Facts is saying that even the Metropolitan Water Reclamation president is mulling a bid. Really? Why would you give up that job? That's cush. I mean, you sit around all day and play cards. Maybe forward an email or two. Mostly cards. So many people running. And so many maybes and so many no's. It's like they've asked everybody. I wonder who they haven't asked. I wonder if they haven't asked 53rd Ward Alderman Ed Buss. I mean, he's been alderman for 50 years, never opposed. What if he took his political machine and moved it to Springfield? You know what? Let's give him a call. Wait for this. Here we go. I'll talk to him. Here we go. Maybe he's not home. Hello? Hi, Ed. It's your old pal Justin Coffin from WGN.
Who? WGN? Nah, I only talk to Lou Manfredini.
Oh, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I'm just calling to see if you're in the running for attorney general now that Lisa Madigan's out.
What? She's not running? I thought that's why she was made. A Madigan not running for re-election. It truly is the apocalypse. Doris, get the duct tape and the batteries. It's happening.
Yeah, Ed, that was last week. She announced it on Friday.
Oh, sorry, I'm late on the news. I'm still summering in Berwyn.
All right, so, Ed, would you be interested in the job?
Why would anyone want that job? Sorry, I got better things to do than help old people avoid email scams. Sorry your airbag accidentally went off, Joker. It's 2017. We don't need an attorney general's office. We got Chuck Gowdy and the I-team. So, no, I'm mighty happy at Chicago City Hall working 10 hours a week and making $125K. Thank you very much. And then how did you get this number?
No, jeez. Gosh. Oh, Ed getting angry there at the end. Surly. Alderman Ed Buss. I guess he's not running for attorney general. The city of Chicago says they're exploring other options for displaced homeless after it had to evict the Uptown 10 city due to construction needs in Lakeshore Drive. The city is said to be looking at tiny houses as a possible measure. You know, the houses that are all the rage with tidy, efficient hipsters. I think they go one step further. I say they team up one homeless person with one tidy hipster and tape a reality show. In all seriousness, Chicago seems to be late to the tent city party, as many cities with better weather, mind you, have adopted sprawling versions. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to San Diego or downtown L.A. Whoa. The one in downtown L.A. may actually be bigger than some of the smaller suburbs in our area. I mean, think about it, a tent city that's bigger than Harwood Heights. I'm just saying. A terrible earthquake in Mexico City killed hundreds on the same day that the last earthquake rocks Mexico City back in the 80s. Is that true? Is that how I'm reading this? I'm no scientist, but maybe a clue in there somewhere? That's strange. Heart goes out to that place. In weather, rainy today, but you know what? Here comes the heat. And that's not just generic rhetoric. The heat's coming. It's going to get hot. That's all I got. And watch out, Hurricane Maria is bearing down on the Bahamas and Puerto Rico. Oh, come on. What did we do to anger the hurricane gods. Is it Kaepernick? Colin Kaepernick? Is that what did this? Probably. In sports, the Cubs' magic number is 9 after they beat the Rays at Wrigley. The Cubs have one more with the Tampa Bay Rays, and they go up to 94. Milwaukee for a 4-game set to settle the Central. Good news for the Cubs, though. Jake Arrieta says he's ready to return and is scheduled to start against the Brewers this weekend. Everything is falling into place. Now, if we can get someone, if we could somehow trade for Aroldis Chapman and Dexter Fowler before the season ends, right? And yes, I know the trading deadline's over, but it's baseball. They'll just call it something else. The waiver excuse. It's called wavering. On the last day of the year, you can waiver somebody. You can extract them. The Sox went down to Houston, stayed with the AL West leading Astros. Giolito pitched well, but the Astros pitched better. The Astros win 3-1. And get this, tonight Major League Baseball broke the all-time home run record for homers in one season. Huge achievement until they realized that kale is a banned substance, or should be. We'll look back on the season and say, all these players eating kale, these kale wraps. We just didn't know at the time. We just didn't know. They should all have a black mark on history. You know, it's going to be like 2040, and we're all going to be like, that was the year of the kale. Kale and hot Cheetos. Who knew? You put those together. The Bears waived wide receiver Tanner Gentry today because the one thing we realized from the first two losses is that the Bears have way too many high healthy wide receivers. But Gentry's out, hopefully clearing waivers to make it back on the practice squad. Marcus Wheaton seems to be healthy. He's in. Also, corner Prince Amakamura should play this weekend against the Steelers. The Bulls announced that Doug Collins is now a senior advisor to the club. How long till Phil Jackson replaces him? I kid. Collins, a former GM, coach, broadcaster, so at least he'll be able to advise on the roster, the team, and the media all in one presser, right? The Blackhawks kicked off the preseason tonight by beating the Jackets off the Jackets. None of the Hawks vets played, but I love that Columbus threw Artemi Panarin out there. The bread man has to go from being a vet on the Hawks, even though he was a young player, to a guy who has to play in the first preseason game. Brandon Saad did not play for the Hawks. Anyway, first preseason game in the books. Great to have hockey back, baby! And finally tonight, Colorado Springs police are on the hunt for the mad pooper. Yep, a jogger apparently is so tight with his routine that he's defecating on the front lawn of one particular house over and over and over. Yeah, it's probably random. I say when they catch this guy, they should roll up a newspaper and rub his nose in it. That would be my bet. Well, that's the carryout for September 19th, 2017. Last chance, Alderman Bush. You sure you aren't running for Attorney General?
No, never. I'll tell you this, though. My daughter Tanya should. She's a senior at Mother Macaulay, and she loves to date Notre Dame linebackers. I mean, they make men at that school.
There you go. Thanks, Alderman. God, you see the Alderman here? He just left. All right, coming up, Rich Jones is going to join us after the news. It's a download here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Rob Martier, how are you, my friend?
Not bad, my friend. We have hockey.
I know, right? Tonight was nice to have a couple hours off, but because I went home and I had dinner with the fam.
Yeah, how weird was that?
It's so weird. You get in a routine where you play, you do the show every night, yeah. And then you get back and it's just you feel like an outsider.
So you're
like
sitting there at the dinner table, and then wife and son look over at you and go, "Who are you?
Who are you?" There's a lot of bumping into each other in the kitchen. Like I was just like, "Oh, can I help?"
I'm trying to get to the toaster. I'm trying to help here.
Like, it's just like, they have a thing going on, and yeah. I don't seem to be part of it.
You help me get this English muffin open? They always stick together.
Exactly.
Always.
Although, I was used when it was time to clean everything up. That's where I came in. They're like, there was no confusion on that one.
You were the only one left in the kitchen.
Yeah, I felt right at home at that point. All right. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest just came off performing at the North Coast Music Festival. Give it up for Chicago soul hip-hop artist Rich Jones. I wasn't thinking about next year, but even next week, moving by myself. No clue how I did it. Trying to give you my time, treat you right. A life more complete. No
see what I can see. Your finger reaches on now, pulling me away. I'll try to behave right, say not just the right thing, but what I'm feeling, what I'm feeling. I usually don't fall quick, at least not for portraits. Looks can be bought, but not your love, not your love. I wasn't thinking about next year or even next week. Moving by myself, no clue how happy I'd be. Trying to give you my time, treat you right.
Jones had a great summer and looks to add this fall with the release of a new EP called Light Work. It's been a relatively short career for Jones, who's been performing and producing music for a little over 5 years. But in that time, he turned heads with his brand of Chicago soul slash hip-hop, performing in front of thousands of different festivals to getting great local media support. In that time, he's had great success with releases like his EP Vegas and several releases before that. Rich Jones, a Chicago musician you should know, in studio tonight. Rich, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Great to be here. And not to be a stickler, but it's lucky number seven.
Number seven, 7 years.
7 years.
Congratulations,
7 years
on that.
Deep. Thank
but
you.
But still relatively a young career for you.
Certainly. I mean, I think, you know, young in the sense of like when it launched, because, you know, there's a lot of kids out here that are starting 16, 17, 18. And, right. and by the time they're at this point, they're in their mid 20s. So, you know, mine started after college, but definitely still out here.
Growing up in Chicago, you had an interest in hip hop. Where'd it come from?
When I was just very young, something about the beats really made me move. I was much more shameless in terms of my dancing when I was a little kid. So I think, you know, I like to be able to move to it. And, you know, I think it just kind of developed from there in terms of like making my own personal discoveries and, you know, kind of integrating myself. You know, that really came about from, you know, just kind of digging a little bit. We're talking about like, you know, early internet era, kind of MySpace, that sort of thing. So you could find out some of these things online through those resources. And then also record stores, you know, were way more prevalent, you know, stores and all that.
And you would use that to research to develop not only what you like, but to tinker with what you want your sound to be.
Definitely. I think, you know, the tinkering becomes way more of a thing kind of after I get out of school and all that. But yeah, I think first and foremost, I had to get a baseline. So to kind of have that be part of that was really big.
You know, listening to the music, especially the stuff that the single that was just put out for Lightwork, which is coming out this fall, and even the stuff off of Vegas, you could tell from the earlier stuff that you've done to now an evolution where you, I think, rely more heavily on the soul part of the soul hip hop and the music you're producing today. Is that a concerted effort? I mean, is that on purpose to shy away from the more straight ahead hip hop stuff and move into a more soul experience?
I would say initially, to a small extent, yeah. I think it was more so a desire to not create with limits attached to what I was doing. So I feel as if, especially more recently in the last few years, kind of through the process of making a Vegas and a few other things, you know, I think it's at this point it's not as much concerted as just kind of a natural part of me as a creative person. But I think, you know, as with anything, you have to, I think, in a lot of cases, have a certain level of intentionality behind it. Mm-hmm. So, when I went to Vegas, I wanted to make those sorts of records. For Lightwork, you know, we had a game plan in terms of, you know, kind of what the sound was going to be going in, kind of a return to kind of some of my older work while blending in some of the newer sounds that I've been working with. And I think that in the best sense is, you know, really most indicative of what I'm aiming for. It's just a hybrid of all my influences because it keeps it interesting and it keeps it fun for me.
As a young artist who's in year seven, how important is it for you to have that balance, that contrast of being able to sell what your sound is, to say to a consumer, hey, this is Rich Jones' sound, this is who I am, but also be able to push those boundaries and try new things to not get stuck into a box?
I think thus far in terms of, you know, how far or not far my music has gone, you know, I've been able to operate pretty much and do whatever I want, however I want. So I think some of these expectations or pressures to be a certain thing just really haven't been there. But I also think that in the process, you know, of just kind of doing exactly what I wanted to do and kind of following that, that, you know, I think the people that are paying attention and are interested, I think it's a bit more genuine. And I think in a lot of ways, especially given where we're at this year, you know, it's been a really amazing reintroduction for a lot of people to what I'm working on, because, mm-hmm. you know, some of them knew me when I was like 22, 23. And it's a different ballgame. It's a totally different package. And I think it's I've matured thoroughly as an artist in comparison.
What do you think the biggest area has been, the maturation process? From those days in the beginning when people might have known you at 22, 23 years old to now, where do you think your music has evolved or matured the most?
I would say, I'd say song structure in terms of you know, just the organization of, you know, kind of the vocals and being able to really, you know, put together a song in a very complete fashion. And, you know, sometimes you record it and it's done. Other times you spend hours and hours and days and days and days perfecting it. But, you know, allowing myself the freedom to call it done or not done,
right.
And, you know, as I move forward, you know, I've been making a really concerted effort, using your words, to record a lot this summer, just because, I feel like in the process of just doing shows or getting involved in other parts of the creative process that don't involve recording, I think it can get you away from your purpose. And, you know, I have to remind myself, you know, every now and again, you're here to make music. This is what you love to do. And so pursue that fully. So in that sense, you know, I've been, you know, camping out at least once, twice a week at my friend's studio. And it's because I know that it's there. It's comforting because I know that there's going to be new material for me to at least listen to and observe and figure out, you know, if that goes out. But then it also is like, you know, I can do whatever I want because, you know, I have the capability now to just, you know, mess around. And if this is good, cool. And I have somebody who is in studio with me to kind of reel me in if it's getting a little too weird, you know.
Soul hip hop performer and musician Rich Jones in studio tonight. He just came off the North Coast Music Festival. He's got an EP coming out this fall called Lightwork. A new single is out now. I'm fascinated, you know, because you've said this a couple times. You get to do whatever you want. You have the creative freedom. You're an independent artist. Where does the pressure come from? You know, because there's going to be pressure regardless on anyone who creates, anyone who produces art. Is it internal? Is it a standard that you want to set for the people who are listening to your music? Where does pressure come from when you're an independent artist?
I'd say the clock is running. You know, there's only a certain period of time where I can do this exactly how I'm doing it. You know, as it pertains to my creative work ethic and my workflow, I think that's why I've been working very hard, is because I understand, you know, things change very quickly, situations change very quickly, and for where I'm currently situated, I need to act accordingly and just really go as hard as I possibly can while I still have the desire to go exactly like this, because, you know, there's a lot of goals I've been able to, you know, achieve this year and you know, make happen, and that's been really wonderful and really special. But there's also a lot of things I still want to do. So it's you know, obviously you don't bat 1,000 in terms of your bucket list, but I'm gonna try really hard to get as close as I can.
The music is personal. When you start working, like for instance, Vegas, you know, you're in a place and space. You're singing and you're producing music about who you are at that time. Talk about that time and the music that comes out of that. And then, you know, as you said, this summer, you've gone hard in the studio and you want to get all this stuff out. Where are you at now? And what can we expect from Lightwork?
Well, with Vegas, that was, you know, I think symbolic that was the place where that happened, because it was a gamble. I wanted to try something different. I wanted to see what could happen, you know, if I was to just go full force into, you know, kind of indie pop dance sort of music versus what people had known me for. And, you know, the process of writing those songs and creating those songs, it was great, because it was me and a really close friend, Ryan Lofty, and we were, you know, making this together. You know, it's in this day and age, a lot of music gets made by email. I've made music like that, but, you know, it was really nice to have a "we made this from scratch" sort of mentality around that. And, you know, a lot of the songs really wrote themselves just because of the conversations we were having, because it's two friends. You know, you spend, you know, 4 days to a week with somebody, you know, for certain periods of time, and it's catching up, but it's also continuing conversations that are just part of your dialogue that's existed from the first time you meet. So, you know, with that, it was really wonderful to connect with my friend Ryan and work with him in that capacity and have, you know, really just have everything flow so naturally in terms of the writing and all that. I think, you know, where I'm coming from now in terms of what I'm making, I think it's it's definitely attached to some of the pressures I'm feeling just with getting older and just with, you know, being, it sounds crazy to say, but I'm, you know, at 29, I'm sort of an elder statesman in hip hop. Hip hop is a young man's game. Yeah. And, you know, I relish the challenge of doing what I do, you know, even as I get older and older. But, you know, I think, again, recognizing where I'm at and then just, you know, being able to, I think especially at this age now, considering how much I've done in the last 7 years. I was talking to one of my other engineers last year, and he just looked at me and says, "You've lived, man. You've done a lot of things." So
that's a good compliment. Right?
Massive. Well, he's the one doing the living now. He's on tour with Smino, so he's off seeing the world. Yeah. He's getting his living in, and I couldn't be prouder of him, Elton Chung. But yeah, I just think it's an age now where I'm really glad I made it through a lot of the things that I did and have done. And I can now talk about it from, I think, a perspective of relative safety and also, you know, be able to, I think, have a more honest appraisal of you know, the journey I've had thus far.
That would be the positives, I guess, the idea of being an elder statesman in the game at 29 years old. But what does your age and the fact that you have a different perspective bring to your career and give you an advantage over a kid who's 19 who's just starting out?
I've had the opportunity to watch people fail that I love. I've personally failed many, many times in many, many ways, and I'm still here. So, you know, it's kind of if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger sort of mentality. And I think as well to some of the attention I've been able to, you know, get recently for my work and what I do, I think I'm better suited to deal with it, you know, because I think some of the more kind of fantasy land qualities of this have definitely been stripped away. And, you know, what I find that's there, I still like, and I still enjoy doing, and I'm still passionate about. And so I think coming from a more realistic perspective when approaching my goals and my art, I think in some ways, you know, ain't nothing like not giving a single damn in the world about, you know, what you're doing, you know, and kind of that youthful energy. But I think it says a lot to be able to, again, kind of sit back and be able to more thoroughly, you know, look at things and be able to kind of deduce from what your personal experiences are. You know, when you don't have any experiences, you're testing things out, you're experimenting. And I mean, you know, luckily, I think there's still a heavy, heavy part of my life that does that. It's just in different ways. Right. And I think it's also, as you go, you know, if you're lucky, you get to have a nice group of people to kind of go on the path with you. And so I'm really lucky to have some people to go along with this with me.
Rich Jones just played North Coast Music Festival. The soul hip-hop artist has a new EP coming out this fall called Lightwork. No shows right now. The release party will be coming out soon. Check out the Facebook, all that stuff. You can also find all of his music, including the EP Vegas, on all Apple and Spotify, other streaming sites. The place to find you would be All Smiles, which is the monthly showcase of hip-hop at Tonic Room in Lincoln Park, which has been a huge hit, a huge success. Talk about the idea of having a place. You know, because we talk about musicians and being able to go different, and we'll have a lot of musicians on the show and say they're playing this chop and then playing over here, then going to this neighborhood. But to have one spot that you kind of control and that you can build an audience at, how important has that been for your career?
Well, earlier on, I was in a group called SCC, and that was with some really close friends of mine. I don't, you know, I think a lot of people have that, you know, the group they're in when they kick off. But we were able to do some really cool things, and you know, especially early on in my music career, having those people with me was a lot of fun and really exciting. And you know, a key development for us was kind of booking ourselves for this to perform every month, so we knew we had some money coming in to you know, pay for things we needed paid for. And in the process, I got a taste for and really enjoyed helping to promote other artists that I liked. And whether they were from Chicago or more recently in the last few years, I've been making more of an effort to try to get friends from out of town. If they want to come to Chicago and perform, I try to persuade them that this is a good option for them. You know, I get them a Friday night in Chicago. Who would hate that?
Right.
But yeah, I think it's more so in the last couple of years when we rebranded it to All Smiles is the name that I think we've been in some ways creating more of the reputation of this as our space, as our place. For this, I mean, Lincoln Park, people have kind of more recently been curious about the location just because Lincoln Park's very different. But I mean, it's very different than when we started 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
In a lot of ways. And I know we're also different too. So, But yeah, I think it's great to have a relationship with a venue that is doing everything it can to support artists and to make sure that they don't feel like they're getting ripped off. And, you know, on top of that is providing, you know, pretty good sound, too.
Here it is.
It's the biggest little venue in all of Chicago. I know, you know, for the summer we've had and just for, you know, for the last couple years especially, it's been sweet to see people coming back each month or come back every couple of months, you know, and you know, they're there to see who's there. And I think that's a telltale sign that we're moving in the right direction. And you know, I think there's a lot of big plans for that next year that I think really could lead to just even crazier, more fun times. You know, we're also I'm always looking to put together events, you know, elsewhere as well. I like to spread my wings a little bit, but having this as kind of the rock of it all is just, you know, it's really amazing.
Rich Jones is the hip-hop soul artist from Chicago. He's got a new EP coming out called Lightwork. The monthly showcase, All Smiles, is at Tonic Room in Lincoln Park. Look it up. Rich, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing your story, and good luck this fall with the EP and, of course, all the stuff that's coming your way.
Thank you very much. A real pleasure to be here. Color of the couch, teriyaki. Life on swamp, staying quasi-posy. If things get fugazi, all this kamikaze. Take out my trouble.